I'm going to share one of the most famous stories in the school district. It's a story about Thunderbird and the orca, or some people prefer killer whale. This story takes place in and around the area of Cowichan Bay, where the Cowichan River and the Cooksiler River meet the salt water. And the story is about a young boy, a very special boy, whose village is at the base of Phi Palm. Phi Palm, you know it as Mount Sir Hallam today, but its original name is Phi Palm. He's a very special individual. He pays attention and listens to his mom and dad, and especially his grandpa. He is taught very well by them. He's very respectful. He's a very kind heart. And he does everything that is asked of him. As time drifts by, the young boy does and performs and completes all of his chores. And he ends up with extra time on his hands. And one day, his grandpa spots his grandson sitting by the rock at the edge of the village. And the boy has his head pretty close to his knees, and he's not moving, and his grandpa is very concerned, and he goes out, asks his grandson, "Are you okay?" He said, "Yeah, I'm fine, grandpa, but I've completed all my chores, and now I have free time for myself, but I have no one to play with in the village." His grandfather responds and says, "Don't be silly. There are children playing right now out in the meadow next to the village. You can play with them." And the young grandson says, "Grandpa, they're too young, and I'm much bigger than they are, and I'm afraid I might hurt them if I play with them." Grandpa says, "Okay, well, there are older boys at the other side of the village that are playing right now." The grandson responds to his grandpa and says, "Well, those boys are much bigger and they're much stronger than myself, and I may get hurt." So the grandpa responds, "The other day, the village nearby, I went to visit a friend. While I was there, I noticed boys your age were out in the meadow playing games. I'm sure if I ask your mom and dad for permission for you, I can take you there, providing that they agree." And sure enough, several days later, the grandson and the grandfather walk over to the village, which you now know as Clumiacan, where the stone church is. And the young boy immediately starts playing games with the boys in that village. And the game that they're playing, he is very athletic. He's a very special young boy. And he beats every one of them in that village, whatever game they were playing. Every other day or every other week, when he'd drop by, someone else would make up a game. Who could run the fastest? Who could swim across the Cowichan River the fastest? Who could dive in the water and hold their breath the longest? Every game that they made up, the young boy from the village at the base of Phi Palm would win the games constantly. And this went on and on for weeks, maybe months, maybe years, I'm not sure. But over time, one of the boys from Clumiacan, probably the leader of the boys in that village, became a little upset. He spoke to his friends from his village and he said, "Aren't you folks getting tired of that boy from the other village coming over? And every game that we play, he never lets any of us win the game. I mean, he's constantly winning. I don't know about you folks, but I think we should do something about that." And he makes up a plan and he says, "The next time he comes into our village to play, I want you fellows to take him over to the other side of the meadow by the woodpile. I have a surprise for him." Sure enough, several days later, the young boy shows up and the boys from Khumiyakin take him to the woodpile, the other side of the meadow. They keep him busy. And the other boy that was quite upset about him winning every game, quietly walks up behind him and calls out his name, and the boy from Big Palm turns around, and that boy from Khumiyakin has a fistful of cedar slivers, and he throws it into one of his eyes, and the other hand, he throws it into the other eye, and the boy screams in pain and starts rubbing his eyes, and that just made it worse. The parents and the grandfather are contacted, and they are told that the grandson and son needs help. The parents and the grandfather arrive. The grandfather picks up his grandson, carries him back to the village at the base of Mount Suhelam, and on his way there, he's speaking to the parents, and he's saying, "I want you to hire all of the best medicine men. I will pay them when they arrive. I want them to help my grandson." And we really don't know how many medicine men or medicine women arrive to help the boy, and they all apologize and basically say that there's nothing they can do. And in response, the grandfather says, "There is a very famous, powerful medicine man, but he lives across the water. I want someone to contact him and send for him, and I will pay him greatly." A very powerful medicine man from the mainland arrives with his medicine bag, and he uses everything in his medicine bag to help the boy, and he apologizes also to the parents, and he says, there's really nothing I can do. I've tried everything, and I can't help your son or your grandson. All I can suggest for you right now is to get a cloth-like material, soak it in water, and keep your son and grandson's eyes covered with that." So days, weeks go by, and the household is kept awake by the screams of the young boy who's in pain. He can't sleep. And I'm not sure how long this goes on, but it was quite a while. But to the mother's surprise, she wakes up early in the morning or late at night, and she realizes something different is happening in the household. She does not hear her son screaming in pain, and she gets up immediately, quietly goes to her son's bedside, and sure enough, he's sleeping. He's not screaming in pain any longer. And she becomes very, very curious, and she wonders, perhaps the damp cloth has worked, and his eyesight is much better. She gently and slowly and quietly as she can picks the damp cloth-like material from his eyes and abruptly surprises her son. He opens his eyelids, and when he does, two bolts of lightning shoot out, one from each eye, and blow two holes in the roof of his mom and dad's house. And the people in the village wake up also, because if you've ever seen lightning and the loud thunderclap, a few days later, an elder arrives at their door knocking, and the elder speaks to the family and basically say, everyone in the village is very concerned about the powers that your son has. I've been sent here to ask you, the family, a favor. The people are worried about the elders in the village who are not as fast and quick as they used to be. What would happen if your son accidentally looked at them, or even the young children? So I've been sent here to ask a favor, a request. The people want to know if you could take your son and grandson to a very far-off, secluded island, somewhere out there in the water where nobody lives. And maybe he could stay there. And if he does open his eyes, no harm will come to anyone. The grandfather is the one that is very, very upset. The grandfather agrees, we will do that for the people in the village. He picks up his grandson, places him on his canoe, and the parents, also in their canoe, set out to a far-off island. It could be somewhere in the Puget Sound area, I'm not sure, but it's probably on the American side of the border today. And they place the son there, and as the grandfather is paddling to that secluded island somewhere, explains to his grandson, I know all of your favorite foods. I know your favorite salmon. I know you like your grandmother's making of bread. And I know the berries that you like. And I know you love crabs. And I will promise you that I will provide you with all of your favorite foods, and I will visit you constantly. And so the boy is left there. And in the story, we really don't know how long he stayed on that island by himself. And over time, maybe many, many years later, the people in the village forget about him. It's been that long. And as you may or may not know, the abundance of salmon used to be very, very rich environment in the Cowichan and Cook's Island rivers. And all the families in all the different villages had favorite fishing sites. And everyone from different villages would prepare themselves and go and wait for the salmon run. They were already prepared, waiting to catch fresh salmon, and lo and behold, not one single salmon shows up in either river. And they shake their heads and they think, this is strange. We'll come back tomorrow and try again. Sure enough, they're out there again at their favorite fishing spot and still no salmon. Days go by, maybe weeks go by, and prior to European contact, the First Nation people, 90% of their diet consisted of salmon. So there was a dependence on salmon. And the elders in the village started to get very, very weak. And the hereditary leaders from the different villages got together, had a meeting, and discussed the situation of no salmon. One of the hereditary leaders suggests that the best warriors from every village should go out in their canoes, paddle out to Cowichan Bay and see, perhaps find out why the salmon aren't swimming up the two rivers. So an entourage of warriors paddle out, and they reach an area far out in Cowichan Bay, and they see a supernatural orca breaching with salmon in its mouth, and it's devouring, eating every single salmon, does not allow a salmon anywhere near Cowichan Bay. And the people, the warriors with that group, paddle back, inform the hereditary leaders that there's a supernatural orca devouring all of the salmon, not letting one single salmon enter the Cooksila or Cowichan River. And so one of the village leaders suggests that a more powerful group of warriors should go out and do something about that supernatural orca. And another group goes out, and they simply think that if they hit the side of their war canoes and make a lot of noise, that should frighten the orca, and it didn't. And they paddle back, and it becomes kind of a contest. Different warriors say, "We'll do it." They go out and try. And they paddle as close to the supernatural orca as possible. They start hitting their paddles on the water to frighten and scare the supernatural orca, and that doesn't work. They paddle back and report to the hereditary leaders that there's nothing they can do. The supernatural orca is just going to keep on eating the salmon. And so, as time goes by, that elder that requested a favor from the family remembered that young boy that was left on a secluded island somewhere, either in the Puget Sound or the Gulf Islands. And that same elder approaches and asks the family, "Is your son and grandson, is he still on that island?" This upsets the grandfather, and the grandfather responds quite abruptly, "Yes, he is. Very well, he's no longer a young boy. Why do you ask?" "I've been sent here once again, realizing how powerful your grandson, the power that he has. I've been sent here to request a favor, ask the family a favor, if it's possible for you to ask your grandson and son if he can come back to the village. Maybe he can help us with that supernatural orca that's eating all the salmon." The grandpa and the parents agree. They paddle out to the grandson's secluded island somewhere. They approach the island and explain to the grandson and son what's happening in Cowichan Bay. Supernatural orca is eating all the salmon, not letting one single salmon swim up either river. And they're sent there to ask him if he could come back to the village and help. The young boy, who is now a young man, responds and said, "Be happy to help the people." The grandfather responded and said, "I knew you'd say that, grandson. Please climb into my canoe and I'll paddle you back to our village." The grandson says, "Thank you, grandpa, but I'll be okay. You, mom and dad, go ahead. I'll catch up to you." The grandfather and the mother are wondering, what is he going to do? Is he going to swim back to the village? Like, what does he mean? So they get on their canoes and start paddling back to the village at the base of Mount Suhalem, original name, Peat Palm. Halfway to their village, they hear a sound. Something above them passes them, and it is a thunderbird. The son and the grandson had transformed into the thunderbird. And the old people say that there was a great battle in Cowichan Bay and St. Anne's School. There are many different endings to the story. One story mentions that the thunderbird tosses the killer whale over Mount Suhalem, and there are other endings. And this story itself, there are different versions from every village within the school district, and this is just one from the late Ruby Peter. The story, the boy ends up being the winner of the battle between the supernatural orca. And he hasn't been to Cowichan Bay or his village for so long that he starts flying around, reminiscing and saying, "Ah, it's been so long since I've been back home. I really miss going with Grandma picking berries. I know where she picks berries. I know where Grandpa used to take me to go crabbing. And my father would take me to certain sites fishing. I really miss those areas." And he decided to fly to Qumyiqin, where the stone church is. And he flies so low, even lower than the treetops. And he starts remembering. "I remember all the games I used to play here." And he circles around that village. And he remembers every single game. And he flies around, glides around that village. And that same boy that threw the cedar slivers into his eyes spots him. He's become a mature young man. He looks up and he sees this supernatural creature flying. He calls out his friends and says, there's a supernatural huge bird. I don't know what it's doing, but every now and then it flies even lower than the trees. And I'm sure if we get our weapons, we can bring that thing down." And they all try. And one arrow does pierce a wing, a shoulder of that young boy, young man, who is now transformed into the Thunderbird. He's wounded. And he wonders, maybe if I can climb high enough, if I can get some altitude here, and I can get some of the wind, I might be able to glide back to my island. And so he tries with all his strength to climb. He reaches a very, very high altitude and he loses consciousness. He just can't do it anymore. He starts tumbling, falling back to earth, and he crash lands. And where the young boy, or the young man now as the Thunderbird, upon impact, he creates a large crater. And that crater immediately fills up with fresh water. And Ruby Peters says that she considers that a sacred site. And it is located pretty close to Quamichin Elementary School and Alexander Elementary School, the Sportplex, Cowichan Sportplex. So if you visit that area and go to the very back softball diamond, or you will see in the corner of the property trees that were not cut down. And there's a trail through there, and you can see the round pool where the young boy or the young man, as the Thunderbird, met his demise. And I have visited several times, and I consider it a very, very special place. And I agree with Ruby, late Ruby Peters, that it is a sacred site. And I only hope that the public treats it with the same respect that the First Nations do. The end.